Gilgamesh, Disc 4.
Humiliating the Goddess. Almost all the female characters in Gilgamesh, Shamhat, Ninsun, Shiduri, and Utnapishtim's wife, are portrayed as admirable, intelligent, generous, compassionate. The one exception is Ishtar, goddess of love and patron deity of Uruk. In the very peculiar and invigorating Book 6, she is rejected, insulted, threatened, and humiliated by both Gilgamesh and Enkidu. This is surprising in a poem that mentions her temple with reverence and makes one of her priestesses a central character in the initial drama. It is even more surprising in light of the goddess's millennia-old position in Mesopotamian culture. She was known to the Sumerians as Inanna, the Queen of Heaven, and played a greater role in mythic, epic, and hymn than any other deity, male or female. Anyone who has first read the beautiful, tender, marvelously erotic song cycle called The Courtship of Inanna and Dumuzi is likely to feel flabbergasted at the shabby treatment Ishtar receives at the hand of the Gilgamesh poet. But there is another side to the beloved goddess who brought culture and fertility to her people in Sumer. She is also the goddess of war, and she can be selfish, arbitrary, and brutal. In the Sumerian poem, The Descent of Inanna, she fastens the eye of death on her husband Dumuzi, Tammuz, and orders him to be dragged down to hell by two persistent demons. In a lesser-known poem called Inanna and Ebi, which begins with an invocation to the goddess of the dreadful powers, clad in terror, drenched in blood, she destroys an entire mountain range because it doesn't show her enough respect. Sumerian literature furnishes other examples of her ruthlessness. Why the Gilgamesh poet chose to focus so exclusively on Ishtar's dark side in Book 6 and to portray his heroes as so vituperative is a mystery. No scholar has provided an adequate explanation of whatever cultural forces were at work behind the episode. Is it symptomatic of a religious movement among first the Sumerians and later the Babylonians to displace her with a male deity? Then why are her priestesses treated with such respect? And how can we explain the poet's irreverence to the gods in general, who are later compared to dogs and flies? We just don't know. All we can do is enjoy the episode and see how it fits into the poem as a whole. Things begin calmly enough. Gilgamesh, having returned from the cedar forest, washes himself and gets dressed in his magnificent royal robes. He is looking mighty fine. Ishtar sees him and falls in love, or lust. In a speech that seems forward or straightforward, depending on one's cultural bias, she propositions him, offering him an array of fabulous gifts, if only he will be her lover.